The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall read to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Well, last week I left off at healthy stuff. So, excuse my voice, sounds kind of weird. I'm sorry about that today. I'm not sure what the problem is. A Peek at the New Eye Science by Denise Mann. To update an old saying, the eyes are truly the windows to the entire body. Artificial intelligence, AI, and other technologies now allow ophthalmologists to predict and treat disease affecting the heart, brain, and other organs. A new field called oculomics combines big data and eye scans to diagnose and predict heart disease. One new AI system identifies people who are likely to have a heart attack in the next year based on the pattern of tiny blood vessels in their retinas, the light-sensing layers of tissue in the back of the eyes. If there are reductions in the density of these blood vessels, or they appear wavier, it's usually a sign of trouble, says Alec Frangi, scientific director of the University of Leeds Center for Health Tech Innovation. Eventually, the technology may also predict neurological conditions such as Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, and stroke. Researchers are also developing smart contact lenses that do far more than correct vision. Some smart contacts release medication, others may monitor important vital signs, and still others may promote wound healing, says Janelle Davison, OD, an optometrist in Smyrna, Georgia. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration recently gave the nod to the first contact lens, Ocuvue Theravision, that emits antihistamines to ease itchy eyes caused by allergies. Smart contacts are also being developed to monitor glucose levels in diabetics, ooh, I could use that, help eyes heal faster, and eye surgery or corneal abrasions, and even provide information to help improve athletic performance. News from the world of medicine. No more reading glasses? The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the first prescription eye drops to treat age-related farsightedness, also known as presbyopia. The drops could potentially replace reading glasses for up to 1.8 billion people around the world. The eye drops, which go by the brand name Vuity, work by reducing your pupil size and expanding your depth of focus so you can see close-up objects more clearly. The drug is intended to be used only once a day, but not if you have to drive at night, as shrinking your pupil infers low vision light. This treatment may be best suited for people in their 40s and 50s, as the drops are less effective for those with advanced presbyopia. A new cancer fighter. If mRNA rings a bell, and not just from high school biology, it might be because Pfizer and Moderna use messenger RNA, mRNA, technology to make COVID-19 vaccines. It was used in vaccines that instruct the body to make protein that triggers an immune response. Now researchers at the Mayo Clinic are using mRNA technology to immunotherapy, a type of treatment that uses the body's immune system to fight cancer, which is more effective for patients whose T cells are too weak for the task. Immunotherapy has had great effects on certain cancers, such as advanced melanoma, for which it has improved the 5-year survival rate of more than 50%, from just 5% a decade ago. Why you should nap like this famous inventor. When Thomas Edison sought inspiration, he would take a nap. Specifically, he would hold a small object in his hand, then go to sleep. When the object fell to the floor, he'd often awaken with a new idea. As it turns out, his method has a scientific basis. A French study suggests the brain activity in the twilight zone between sleep and wakefulness, called N1 or hyponagogia, connect dreamlike experience with recent events that occurred while awake. Nearly 83% of study participants who napped for 10 minutes successfully solved a math problem presented earlier, compared to 30% of the subjects who stayed awake and 14% of those who fell into a deeper sleep. Yogurt lowers blood pressure. A University of Maine study found that people with elevated blood pressure, 140 over 90 milligrams or higher, who regularly consumed a serving of yogurt, lowered their readings by nearly 7 points. This heart-healthy effect may come from bacteria that promote the release of pressure-lowering proteins. Chilling out slows aging. Scientists have found that tracking changes in DNA as people age can predict health and lifespan better than simply know how many candles were on their last birthday cake. Yale University researchers found that cumulative stress makes a healthy person's biological clock accelerate at a faster rate than other factors. I don't think that's too not unknown. It kind of makes sense. People who experienced prolonged stress but scored high in emotion regulation were much more resilient to the negative effects of stress. Mindfulness meditation and cognitive behavioral therapy can help you control your response to stress triggers, making things easier in the moment and adding months or years to your life. And a little humor in uniform. The young father took a seat on the crowded bus next to an elderly man and plopped his one-year-old on his lap just as the little boy began to cry and fidget. That child is spoiled, isn't he? The old man remarked. No, said the dad, they all smell this way. I just swallowed a stack of Scrabble tiles by accident. My next poop could spell disaster. Oh, God, that's awful. Knock, knock. Who's there? The love of your life. Dark chocolate who? Who decided it was called emotional baggage, not grief case? What are cookies, and why do websites have them? Cookies simplify our online lives, but it's important to understand what they are before accepting them. If you're online all the time, and we're willing to wager most people are, you've no doubt been bombarded with accept cookies pop-ups that appear on every website. And aside from wondering how to make them go away, the question you probably ask every time you hit accept is, what are cookies anyway? Some cookies are safe. They're to offer you a more personalized user experience, while others are more nefarious, allowing you to be tracked and spied upon, possibly without your consent. The majority of people just click accept cookies on those annoying website banners that pop up each time, says Chris Pearson, Ph.D., a former privacy attorney who also served for more than a decade on the Department of Homeland Security Privacy Committee and Cybersecurity Subcommittee. Most free websites, apps, and other services require the user to accept their terms of service to collect and use their data, and often this is done through the use of tracking cookies. If it's free, you are the product. With all the tracking going on, it can be tempting to disappear completely from the Internet, but that's an extreme solution. Understanding how web cookies work and what their purpose is will help you identify the times you shouldn't accept cookies, why you might want to browse the Internet anonymously, and how to prevent companies from buying and selling your information, as well as why you should clear cookies from your phone, tablet, and computer. A cookie is a small piece of data from a website stored in your browser to recognize you when you return. Cookies have been around since the early to mid-1990s and become a ubiquitous part of the Internet, says Alec Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions at cybersecurity company TrustedSec. They are all blocks of data or information that the web browser puts on your computer, phone, or other devices. The cookie was created to make your online life more seamless. The technology was originally developed to make web surfing easier by enabling the web server to remember your login information or catering information on the website to your interest, explains David Finkelstein, co-founder and CEO of the data exchange platform BDEX. But it's important to understand that not all cookies are created equally. There are authentication cookies that make it so you don't have to log in every time you visit a website. And then there are tracking cookies, which store information about your browsing, and no, private browsing won't let you avoid tracking cookies. A lot of things that happen as you browse the web or that people attribute to the devices listening to them are really from cookies following them around as they browse, says Hammerstone. When you search for an item on a website and then see ads for that item on a different website, that is usually cookies at work. How do cookies work? Web browsers and websites talk to each other in a stateless language. Translation. Every message is independent and isolated from every other message, says Peter Arntz, threat intelligent expert at Malwarebytes, which sells cybersecurity solutions. It's like having a conversation with somebody who instantly forgets who you are after every sentence. That's where cookies come in. To tie the separate sentences together into a conversation, Arntz says, a website sends a web browser a cookie with a unique ID the first time they communicate. And the web browser repeats the unique ID back to the website every time it sends a message, so that the website can remember who you are and tell you that your messages are coming from the same individual. What information do cookies collect? There are many different types of cookies, and they collect varying types of information, Hammerstone says. This information can be as simple as your preferences as you visit a website, or what pages of that website you have already visited, or cookies can collect and store extensive information about your browsing history over time. So what exactly are cookies on a website collecting? The cookies that give us better user experience are the ones that collect stuff like our login information, our news preference, and whether we've left items in an online retailer's shopping cart. These first-party cookies are often referred to as essential or necessary cookies. Cookies are generated by the host domain, Arntz explained, and they gather some basic information about your system and browser to optimize the communication regarding your behavior on the site, such as which pages you visit and how long you stayed and there before moving on. Okay, but what are cookies best known for? Privacy concerns and third-party cookies are the ones that give cookies a bad rep. They're intended for cross-site tracking, which advertising companies use, Arntz said, and advertisers like Google and Facebook use them to track users as they travel around the web from site to site, building up profiles of the kind of sites they like to visit, showing them targeted advertisement. Why do websites have cookies? By now, we understand that some of the basics about what cookies are and why they exist, which can be summed up in a word, tracking. First-party cookies make it easier for users so they don't have to constantly log in, for example, and third-party cookies make it easier for advertisers. First-party cookies also help website owners understand which pages work, meaning among other things, which people stay on longer and which ones need optimizing. Third-party cookies use more advanced user analytics and are typically set up for commercial reasons. They're a way for companies to advertise to you across the Internet, not just on a single site. Why do they call it a cookie? In the Unix programming language, there is something called a magic cookie, which is a way for data to be sent within a program, Hammerstone explains. The magic cookie came from the fortune cookies, which have a message in them, much like the magic cookie carries data. When the idea of using cookies to save data came about in the early 1990s, the term was coined. Are cookies bad? Cookies aren't inherently good or bad. Cookies are just files of text information about you, your device, your browsing history, and your behavior, says Pearson, who's currently CEO of a cybersecurity company called Black Cloak. However, if you do not specifically limit cookies or set up privacy settings, then they may infringe upon your privacy beliefs. The key lesson is to learn what they are, how they are used, and then determine what role you want them to play in your browsing life. So let's start with the positive. What are cookies good for? Cookies by nature are meant to be a convenience to all parties, says Rob Holmes, a second-generation private investigator who has handled digital cases for 30 years. Without cookies, you would have to provide your login info every time you return to Amazon, Netflix, or any other website you frequent. Yet online security is a valid concern. Most of us worry about the cookies we feel forced to accept, wonder if they can disclose something sensitive about us, something we wouldn't just anybody, or practically everybody, to know. The prevalence of phishing, spyware, and computer hacking makes us fear that cookies could lead to our identity being compromised or stolen. But despite all the risks, there are some best practices for staying safe online, like avoiding sketchy sites, then making unlikely cookies will pose cybersecurity threats. Unless you spend a lot of time surfing websites operated by untrustworthy or unscrupulous people in the first place, you probably don't need to worry about cookies leading to hacking, says Mike Wills, a certified anti-money laundering specialist and professor at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. Should I accept cookies? It depends, says Jason Glassenberg, co-founder of cybersecurity for Kasaba Security. Do you want a convenient web experience? And so, then you need cookies. You can change your browser setting to block cookies, but websites will still be able to get personal information about you. They just won't share it with your browser. Therefore, your data will still be collected, but you won't benefit it by having a more convenient time using the web, Glassbert says. The only real option to avoid data collection from website is to abandon the Internet altogether, okay? That's all well and good when you're simply browsing, but you want to give more thought when sensitive information is in play. Consumers need to think long and hard about whether they want to be sharing sensitive information with cookies, like your passwords, payment card, and home address, as hackers can steal cookies, Glassbrook says. Accepting cookies so that the website can save your login information is a convenience with little risk, but you might think twice what a website offers to save your payment information. But what's the alternative if you don't want to accept cookies? While websites make it easy to accept, they often send users down a button-click rabbit hole to block cookies. But you're more likely to have the option since it's required under European law. The European Union's e-privacy directive requires that users must be presented with adequate explanation as to the cookies that will be placed on their device and how they will track the individual, explains Donata Stroik-Skilrud, interesting name, a certified information privacy professional and chair of the American Bar Association's e-privacy committee. If the user doesn't consent, then the companies may not place cookies on their device. If a user does consent, the user must also be presented with a choice to revoke that consent at any time. Revoking consent must be as easy as providing it, meaning that the process to revoke consent must be quick and easy and not hidden from the user. That's looking more and more appealing to users who are reckoning with a large amount of personal data found on the web. Not convinced? Google your name. Thankfully, you can remove your personal info from Google search results, and you can opt out of cookies. What happens if you don't accept the cookies? For some websites, not accepting cookies can break the content, and it will not display properly, says Andy Rogers, senior assessor at Shellman, a global cybersecurity assessor. And if you clicked on Keep Me Logged In on websites and you clear your cookies, you'll have to log into them all over again. Glassberg puts it more bluntly. You'll have a little more privacy, but surfing the web will be an aggravating experience. He points out that accepting cookies may keep us a bit safer, assuming everyone has replaced easy-to-guess passwords with good passwords and two-factor authentication. Without cookies, you have to remember 12 to 20 unique passwords every day just to use basic web services like Gmail, Amazon, Netflix, Facebook, Twitter, etc., he said. So without cookies, people would have one password they use for everything, which would make them more vulnerable. Cookies make it easier to use good password hygiene, and they allow you to surf the web without a million sign-ins. That said, a good password manager will hold your hard-to-guess passwords so you're not tempted to use an easy phrase for every login. In that case, cookies simply save you the hassle of having to enter your password each time you land on a site. How do I clear cookies? The process to clear cookies varies by device and browser, Hammerstone says. You'll need to visit the settings section of your browser or device to look for the option to clear cookies. You will usually have options to remove selected cookies or all cookies. There will also be options to disallow cookies, and these options will usually allow a user to deny cookies by type. For instance, a user can choose to deny only third-party cookies. To clear your history from the Chrome browser, follow the steps below. And I'm not going to do that because it requires descriptions of a specific kind of thing. And not everyone uses Chrome, though, so if you're stumped by how to clear cookies from your favorite browser, your best bet is to Google it. We'll get you started with a step-by-step instruction for the most commonly used browsers, and we're not going to go through that because if you need it, go to Google and just Google it, because that makes more sense. And now, on a more serious subject, what is American cheese exactly? And I know this is a question that has stumped all of us. It may be an American classic, but there's a good chance you don't actually know what's in this processed cheese. Here's a fun bit of food facts trivia that's sure to amaze. Every week, more than 110 million Americans eat at least one slice of Kraft American cheese. I had some for lunch today. Considering that Kraft is just one of the dozens of American cheese brands on the market, it's safe to say that we're a country that's crazy about cheese. Whether we're melting slices on hamburgers, stacking them on subs, or grilling them to ooey gooey grilled cheese sandwiches, American cheese is an American classic, just like apple pie and hot dogs. But what is American cheese exactly, and how is it made? We've got the answer to some of these popular questions. When you're up to speed, expand your cheesy knowledge by finding out what cheese curds are made of, and we'll do that as well. Is American cheese real cheese? Technically, American cheese is not real cheese, and that's in parentheses. From a legal perspective, the FDA requires any cheese made from a blend of two or more real cheeses to be labeled as processed cheese or a cheese product. Most American cheese is made by blending cheddar and Colby cheeses with other ingredients like extra whey, milk proteins, vitamins, coloring, and emulsifying agents that both hold everything together and create that wonderful gooey pull when melted. Only brands that meet these requirements, such as the most popular brand on the market, Kraft Singles, may label themselves as American cheese. According to the confusion, not all cheese slices out there are legitimate American cheese. Only slices that contain more than 51% real cheese can be legally classified as American cheese. Anything that contains less than 51%, like Velveeta, must be labeled as a processed cheese food. One common imposter found on supermarket shelves, American slices or sandwich slices. This product is made by blending milk proteins, vegetable oil, and other ingredients into a substance that looks and melts like American cheese, but is not, in fact, American cheese. The FDA has a very strict labeling requirements to help consumers differentiate the two. But because they look so similar, it's easy to get them mixed up when grocery shopping. When in doubt, check the ingredients. If the first ingredient is cheese, you've got real American cheese in your shopping cart. If the first ingredient is water, milk, or oil, you don't. This is similar to the process of figuring out what actually qualifies as butter or margarine. How is American cheese made? American cheese begins with two or more real cheeses, which are mechanically grated into fine shreds and melted together to 165 degrees Fahrenheit. The melted cheese is then blended with additional dairy products such as milk and whey, as well as additional milk and whey proteins. Next, food coloring, flavorings, and salt are added along with emulsifiers like potassium, phosphate, sodium, or citrate, which bind the mixture and prevent it from separating when heated. Once all the ingredients have been combined into a smooth, homogeneous mixture, it can be poured into large molds and solidified into sliceable bricks, which become the American cheese slice you can buy in the deli department. Or it can be piped through an extruding machine that creates long, thin sheets of American cheese that are cooled, sliced, and individually wrapped. Then, of course, it's ready to be used in those American cheese recipes or melted on top of a hamburger. What's the difference between white American cheese and yellow American cheese? The difference between white and yellow American cheese is obvious. Color. While white American cheese is left all natural, when yellow American cheese is made, coloring is added to give it more cheddarish appearance. Some brands use natural coloring like Annonato or paprika. Cheaper brands may use artificial food dyes. Outside of the color, everything else about white and yellow American cheeses is exactly the same. How is American cheese different from cheddar? American and cheddar cheeses might look similar, but they are not the same. Cheddar is real cheese, made from 100% cow's milk that's been coagulated with rennet, an enzyme that separates curds from whey. The only other ingredients that may be added to cheddar cheese are salt and food coloring. Cheddar cheese is hard, crumbly, and not ideal for melting. Because it lacks emulsifiers, when cheddar cheese is melted, it will separate into cheese solids and liquefied oil. Some prepackaged cheddar slices are, in fact, cheddar, but not all. Many are actually cheddar-flavored cheese products, meaning they're processed cheese slices mixed with artificial or natural flavoring to mimic the sharpness of authentic cheddar. Again, the FDA has a firm set of rules about what cheese is and what it can contain, so always look at the label, which will clearly state what you're actually dealing with. How often should you eat American cheese? Of course, this is entirely up to you. American cheese does have some nutritional benefits. It contains high-quality protein with a low amount of carbohydrates. And since it contains real dairy, it's naturally high in vitamins and minerals like vitamin D and vitamin A, calcium, phosphorus, and zinc. That said, American cheese is also high in calories, cholesterol, sodium, and saturated fat. One slice of cheese contains 9 grams of fat, with 5 of those being saturated fat, about 25% of the FDA's recommended daily allowance. The bottom line, American cheese could be part of a healthy diet as long as you're conscious of serving sizes, and as with all cheeses, enjoy it in moderation. Now, as promised, we get to find out what actually are cheese curds. Midwesterners gobble up this fan-favorite food, but cheese lovers everywhere should experience the joy of this tasty snack. And I will be a witness to that, having just recently found out how good fried cheese curds are. They're really good. The soul food of the Midwest, and I'm from the Midwest, but I never had them. Morsels of gory, creamy goodness, heaven on earth. All are accurate descriptions of the delicious, versatile food known as cheese curds. Of course, I'm biased. Born and raised in Wisconsin, I had the pleasure of being introduced to cheese curds at a young age. That's the author, not me. Folks in my town didn't go around wondering what are cheese curds as much as, should I buy more cheese curds? Yes. The answer is always yes. It wasn't until I moved out of state that I realized that not everyone shared the same appreciation, and not everyone had heard of cheese curds. If you're not from Wisconsin or its neighboring states, you probably have a few questions. What are cheese curds? Are they actually cheese? And why are they such a big deal? These are fair culinary questions that rival the biggies like what is American cheese and hot dogs. Lucky, some food facts, trivia, and expert explanations, you're about to learn everything you know about water-watering cheese curds. So, what are cheese curds anyway? Cheese curds are little chunks of white or orange cheese that haven't gone through the aging process. Think of them like the younger siblings to the blocks of aged cheese you buy at the store. The majority of cheese curds are made from cheddar, although it's possible to make them from other cheeses like Munster and Colby. For many Wisconsin residents, curds are more than a menu item. We compete against each other. Who has the best cheese curd or the best presentation? Says Mike Doble, proprietor of Explorium Brew Pub, which serves its beer-battered curds with carrot and celery slices and ranch dressing. It's a matter of pride. If you're going to be a Milwaukee brand, you want to have cheese curds on your menu. Midwesterners aren't the only one who hopped on the curd wagon. Cheese curds are one of the main ingredients in poutine, a Canadian dish that also includes French fries and is topped with gravy. If you can't make it to Canada, try a bowl. Poutine is also a secret menu item at a well-known American restaurant, but it doesn't tell me which one it is. Darn. I'm going to check. Hang on a second. I'm going to check that. I can do that online real quick. I'll come back to that. Anyway, cheese curds are made in almost the same process as regular cheese, so let's start there. First of all, what is cheese made of? It begins with raw whole milk that's heated to 161 degrees Fahrenheit in stainless steel, held at the temperature for at least 15 seconds, and then cooled back down. Just how much milk is involved? At Clock Shadow Creamy, about 10,000 pounds of milk can produce about 1,200 pounds of cheese in one day, according to Bo Wills, who manages this urban cheese factory. At this point, the milk is legally pasteurized. Raw or unpasteurized milk is banned in the United States, but luckily, cheese curds are 100% legal. Once added, good bacteria called starter culture and an enzyme called rennet begin to curdle the milk, with no trace of the sneaky ingredient found in shredded cheese. The bacteria and enzymes separate the milk into curds and whey. What is curds? Curds are the product of coagulating milk. Simply put, a curd is the solid stuff. Whey is the remaining liquid. It may not sound appetizing, but trust me, the end result is worth it. The slab of curd then goes through a cheddaring process, during which it's cut, stacked, and pressed together so more whey can be drained out. This process repeats until all the whey is drained and the curds form a solid chunk of cheese. That cheese block is then cut into standard cheese curd shapes using a cheese mill and is salted. Viola, you have cheese curds. This process was actually developed by cheesemakers who didn't want to wait for their cheeses to age or wanted to sell excess curd along with their other cheese. It goes way back to our farming days, says Christian Yoinke, executive chef at Lakefront Brewery. We have such strong roots in cheesemaking, so we have that built-in appreciation for cheese in Wisconsin and the Midwest. So what does a cheese curd taste like? Because cheese curds are young versions of cheddar, they taste much like a milder, saltier version of cheddar cheese. Doble describes them as like a brie without the funk. But you can't fully answer what are cheese curds or what do cheese curds taste like without talking about their texture. It's similar to taffy or a marshmallow. Admittedly, cheese is very different from what marshmallows are made of. When deep fried, the texture is more moist and stretchy. And let's not forget that fresh curds also squeak in your mouth, thanks to the proteins in the curds that rub against your teeth when you eat them. That's how they got their original nickname, squeaky cheese. As the curds become less fresh, those proteins loosen and stop rebounding against tooth enamel. What are the best ways to eat cheese curds? Well, if you're still getting over the fact that cheese curds exist, you may be surprised to hear that there are multiple ways to eat them. In restaurants, they're most commonly served deep-fried, and if you're lucky, beer-battered. That's how they made it at Lakefront Brewery, which is regularly ranked among the best places to get cheese curds in Wisconsin. Deep-fried curds are typically enjoyed with a house-made ranch for dipping, and I got my cheese curds at the Pickled Pub in Wake Forest. More adventurous curd lovers may go to flavored cheese curds. Some raw cheese curds come with a dill or buffalo sauce flavoring. Lakefront's Curd of the Week, fried cheese curds made with unique flavors that rotate weekly, has included barbecue, salted vinegar, spaghetti, dinner, and even cinnamon and sugar. The best drinks to pair with cheese curds. If you're looking to pair your cheese curds with an adult beverage, pour yourself a brew instead of a glass of vino. The combination in beer automatically resets your palate by rinsing away the fat. Doble recommends big sweet malty beers like a double IPA or a hard liquor with a sweeter flavor. like cherry forward scotch or a complimentary savory cheese. The hands-down best way to eat cheese curds. Most cheese Most cheese fans agree that the best way to eat cheese curds is fresh out of the vat for premium softness and squeakiness. They've got to be fresh within 2 or 3 days of being made. Otherwise, it's not real cheese curd. It's just a mild cheddar at that point. I would admit you got to come to Wisconsin for that, though. Since it's not an option for everyone, even for the most Wisconsinites, there are ways to replicate that warm gooiness. Try popping your cheese curds into the microwave for a few seconds. Take them out of the fridge and let them come to room temperature. Or, you know, you could always make a trip to Wisconsin. And with that delicious element out of the way, let's go back to Consumer Reports and save more and waste less. Want to live a more sustainable life but think it requires too much effort? Or just don't know where to start? We found dozens of simple steps you can take to be more green and also save money, a lot of around the house. Here are some examples. 3 easy green moves to make now. Switch to a reusable coffee pod filter and save $393. Answers annually. Install a bidet seat. If you use 50% less toilet paper, you can save $231. Reduce the temp on your water heater from 140 to 120 degrees Fahrenheit and save up to $453, which means $1,077 typical annual serving. 30% of Americans have installed a more efficient appliance, such as a dishwasher or washer, in the past year. 26% installed a low-flow shower head or faucet. 25% installed a low-flow toilet. 5% installed a rain collection barrel. Make your own sparkling water. Do-it-yourself carbonation can save you cash. Based on our calculations, a family that drinks 5 liters of seltzer a week and switches from store-bought to making their own could save $195 over 2 years and spare 520 single-use plastic bottles. This is based on using the highly rated SodaStream Terra Soda Maker at $80 at some retailers and CO2 cartridges that average $22.50 each. To calculate savings based on your own consumption, go to cr.org SodaMaker. Embrace a kinder K-Cup. In trading single-use coffee pods for a usable K-Cup filter, Keurig makes his own, but you can also get one from Deli Brew, D'Oro, Fill and Save, Maxware, or Perfect Pod, and you'll save big. The average price for a pound of ground coffee in the U.S. breaks down to about 18 cents a cup. Compare that with Keurig K-Cups, which cost roughly 74 cents a cup. Based on 2 coffee drinkers enjoying 1 cup every morning for a year, you'll save almost $400 with a reusable filter, which can go into the dishwasher when you're done. Grabbing coffee out, Starbucks and Pete's, among other coffee changing shops, offer you a small discount if you bring your own mug. Give leftovers a new life. Taking leftovers home from a restaurant reduces food waste and maximizes the value of your dollar spent dining out. If you're ditching the doggy bag because certain foods aren't good at reheated, know that we found that an air fryer such as the Gourmet GAF 686 can bring even loaded machos, tacos, and other food typically thought impossible to resuscitate back to their original glory. How I Compost in My Apartment by Perry Sanatatochite. That's an interesting name. Composting breaks down the fruits and veggies into a nutrient-rich fertilizer and keeps food scraps out of landfills. I have 0 outdoor space and can drop off food scraps for composting at my local farmer's market, but I wanted to see if I could compost in my own apartment. I tried several indoor options, including Vitamix Food Sockler at $400, the Loamy Hode Composter at $490, and a few vermicompost bins, which worms do the work. The simple human compost caddy at $50, which I was already using to collect food scraps, proved to be best. It fits in the freezer and keeps smells and bugs at bay. I then schlepped the scraps to the market, happy to know that they are going back into the ground here in New York. Some cities offer a drop-off or pick-off service, and commercial composting companies will pick up residential food waste for a fee. My sister uses ones and get bags of compost in return. Water filter pitchers. When you buy a purified bottle of water because you aren't happy with what's coming out of your tap, try a high-quality water filter pitcher, which can save you money while reducing waste. Take the top-rated Brita Rabbit Streams, For a $25 investment, this picture swap filters up to 40 gallons of water per cartridge. Replacements cost $7 each. That's about equal to the amount of water in 303 plastic bottles, more than 25 12-packs. Brita Rapids Streams OB55 at $25 scored an 81 on their thing. The Par Ultimate with lead reduction is $30. That scored a 76. And Kirkland Signature Water Filtration System at $25 got a 69. Cut back on food waste. The average U.S. household throws out about a third of food it acquires, to the tune of an estimated $1,866 per year. A fair amount of food packaging ends up in your kitchen trash, too, not even when you recycle right. Here are ways to waste less. Adopt a FIFO rule. That's first in, first out. Whether in your pantry or freezer, pull items from the back. That way there's a better chance you'll use older, often forgotten items before they expire or go bad. Put your pantry to work. Spend a week cooking primarily with ingredients from your pantry to thin out older provisions. Freeze what won't get through. Bread keeps in the freezer for up to 3 months. Freeze just past their prime bananas, berries, or spinach, and more to use in smoothies. Think of leftovers frozen in individual servings as meal prep. Build a freezer file. Keep an itemized list on your phone of what goes into your freezer. Plan meals around it so you don't have to toss forgotten food when it's freezer burnt. Label and date the items you freeze. Don't take package Best Buy dates as gospel. It's easy to interpret them as throw out on this date, but those dates are voluntarily put on food packages by manufacturers to indicate when the food is of the best quality. Foods are often safe for consumption after that date. Just examine the signs of spoilage, and when in doubt, throw it out. Grow your own herbs. Trader Joe's sells cut basil for $2.69, or a pot or basil plant for $4, which could provide a steady supply of the aromatic herb with a little sun and weekly watering. Indoors, with south-facing sun, you can grow basil, thyme, mint, oregano, and rosemary, to name a few, on a windowsill, says Karen Washington, co-owner of Rise and Root Farm in Chester, New York. Get the dishes clean using less energy and water. If you hand wash, use the water-efficient two-basin method. Scrape away solids, then soak and scrub dirty dishes in a sink filled with hot water and a few drops of dish soap, followed by rinsing in a basin of cold water. If you use a dishwasher, don't pre-rinse. Unless you have a super hard water or an ineffective dishwasher, you can skip rinsing the dishes before loading them. And if you make sure to run full loads, you'll save water, energy, and detergent. Try a cheaper detergent. The top performers in CR's tests tend to be single-dose packs. You might find that a less expensive gel works just fine. Keep your dishwasher working better longer. Build up mineral scale and food residue can diminish your machine's cleaning abilities. If your dishwasher has a filter, clean it whenever performance dips. And for all models, run an empty load with a cleaner, such as A-Fresh Dishwasher Cleaner $9, or citric acid a few times a year. Need to replace your dishwasher? Bosch dominates the top of our ratings. Other top-rated options cost more than the three picks outright. We're adding our Green Choice designation, which IDs the most eco-friendly models. Bosch Ascenta at $550, cost of $550. The Bosch Ascenta SH3RAC, you see it, $700, scored an 88, same as the other one. And the Bosch 100 Series, SHMEA3A, at $650, scored an 83. That's interesting. The two cheaper ones one of the cheap ones is better rated than the more expensive ones. Extend the life of your clothes. People typically keep a garment for about 2 years. Extending that to 3 years by taking good care of your clothing reduces its carbon, water, and waste footprint by 20% to 30%, and you'll save because you're not having to replace items so frequently to get more wear out of clothes. Wash garments less often and or use a shorter, more general wash cycles. Try the soak function. It fills the tub and lets the detergent work without much or any agitation before it runs a shorter wash and spin cycle. Decreased agitation reduces wear and tear on clothes. Use mesh bags to protect delicate fabrics. And pass your clothes on. When you're done with a garment and it's still in good condition, consider selling it through a local consignment store or try an online option such as ThredUp. If the items were worn out, search the database at 9/11 for nearby textile donation sites. Alternatively, retailers such as H&M and brands including Levi's and Adidas offer coupons or other incentives for your used apparel. Streamline your laundry day. Keep it cold. Washing with warm water with cold water can save you about $66 a year, according to Energy Star. Reserve hot water for items you want to sanitize when someone is sick in the house, says CR laundry expert Rich Handel. Decrease the detergent. Our tests reveal that you typically use only about 1.5 ounces of detergent to get the clothes clean. If your clothes are heavily soiled, increase the amount slightly. Try a cheaper detergent. A family that washes 5 loads per week can save more than $79 a year using Kirkland's Signature Ultra Clean Liquid, 11 cents per load, compared with Tide Hygienic Clean Heavy Duty 10 times, 44 cents per load. Both earn overall scores of very good in our tests. Opt for automatic dryer cycle. This setting, which generally uses a moisture sensor or a thermostat, can save energy and extend the life of your fabrics by reducing the chances of overdrying. You can save even more energy by line or hang drying. Skip unnecessary extras. Fabric softeners, dryer sheets, and scent boosters cost $9 to $17 or more per container and leave residue behind. When it's time to replace her, look for a green choice. To assign this eco-friendly designation, we consider not only the water and energy a model uses, but also packaging, shipping, reliability, and more. Use wayless toilet paper. A bidet seat attaches to your toilet and spritzes your backside. This post-potty rinse uses more water in addition to your standard flush, but saves on toilet paper. Our toilet paper consumption has gone down by half, one bidet fan reported to CR's user experience and research team. Another said they used 80% less TP after installing a bidet seat. In CR's evaluation with more than 24 bidet owners, the Bondell Simple Spa Thin Line for $27 was among the favorites. 48% of Americans have got clothing second-handed. 42% have bought home used furniture, 29% have obtained used electronics, and 21% have acquired used exercise equipment. How I Quit Paper Towels by Paul Hope. I confess, I was once a chronic overuser of paper towels for wiping the counters, drying my hands, and cleaning up spills. It got so bad during the pandemic that my family of five was burning through about 20 rolls a month. Wow. To wean ourselves, we bought 60 thick white cotton washcloths of about $37 and put them in an easy-to-access bin on the kitchen counter. Then I stashed a disposable roll in a hard-to-reach place, reserving for essential use only, like cleaning a counter with hot soapy water after cutting up chicken. I'm grossed out at the thought of a washcloth potentially swimming with salmonella, mixing with my clothes in the hamper. We have a few extra washcloths in our laundry loads, but we whittled our paper towel habit down to just 1 or 2 rolls a month. I used to buy a 12-pack of Bounty double rolls for $25 at Home Depot once or twice a month. Now that same pack lasts us 6 months. Switch to LEDs. A new federal rule requiring light bulbs to meet higher efficiency standards means that energy waste in incandescent bulbs might not be an option for long. But it doesn't pay to wait. We compared the energy of a 100-watt equivalent Philips-branded EKEO incandescent halogen bulb with energy use compact fluorescents, CFL, LED, and smart LED bulbs. The incandescent uses 72 watts, the CFL 23 watts, and both LEDs use 14.5 watts. The difference in yearly energy costs between the incandescent and the LED bulbs is about $7 per bulb. So if you replace 10 incandescents with average home uses more than 60 bulbs, you'll save about $70 in yearly energy cost. Plus, LEDs last 14 to 17 years longer. Installing a low-flow showerhead with the EPA's WaterSense label can save 2,700 gallons a year, or about $16 in average annual water cast. Join a Buy Nothing group. Online Buy Nothing groups let you give appliances, lawn care equipment, and anything else you no longer want to people in your community instead of sending them to the landfill. Everything is offered free, and you can post a request for anything you need, just not cash or anything illegal. Search Facebook groups for your local Buy Nothing group or go to freecycle.org. Plan a handoff in a public location or a parking lot. Some police stations have spots designated for just that purpose. Top-rated water-saving toilets. Replacing old toilets with WaterSense models could save more than $140 a year on your water bill, according to the Environmental Protection Agency. Federal standards require that new toilets use no more than 1.6 gallons per flush. Those that qualify for the EPA's WaterSense label use only 1.28 gallons. In our test, many WaterSense models perform just as well as, if not better than, some higher-gallon toilets, says CR test engineer Chris Reagan. Then here's three options. The American Standard Champion scored 77, it cost $250. The Delta Eternal at $170 scored a 70. And Glacier Bay at $90 scored a 71. 28% of homeowners have installed a smart thermostat to limit energy in the past year. 20% added insulation to use less heating in AC. 15% installed new windows. 6% installed a heat pump. And 4% installed solar panels. Organic mattress gets more life in the mattress you have by rotating or flipping it, depending on the manufacturer guidance, at least twice a year. And follow our cleaning advice. When it's time to replace it, don't be fooled by terms as natural or even organic. The two most meaningful standards are the Global Organic Textile Standard, GOTS, or Global Organic Latex Standard, GOLS, certification. These find drafts and seal them up. A drafty house can drive up your energy cost. To find less obvious leaks, hold a lit incense stick near a potential problem spots like windows and doors. If the smoke dissipates, you probably have a leak. Use caulk to fill gaps between stationary features such as door and window frames, and use weather stripping to seal what moves such as doors and windows. In summer, keep curtains closed when you can to block warming rays. Run a ceiling fan and you can raise the AC thermostat by 4 degrees and feel just as comfortable, per the Department of Energy. Save on home heating. A programmable thermostat can automatically adjust the temp when you're away or asleep. For step-by-step instructions, go to cr.org, program thermostat. According to Energy Star, a smart thermostat such as Honeywell Home T5 and $120 can lower your heating and cooling bills by an average of 8% or $50 per year. Consider a heat pump. Electric heat pumps can chop your heating-related carbon emissions by 40% or more compared with a gas furnace, according to a study from the University of California, Davis. Thanks to new technology, they now work not only in warmer climates, but also in colder ones. Homeowners who switch from oil or propane heat are likely to save money too, especially if you live somewhere with tax incentives or cash rebates. Check DSIRE USA.org for programs in your area. You can save up to 3% on your utility bill for every degree you raise your thermostat set temperature above 72 degrees this summer. How I went solar without the panels, Shanika Whitehurst. At the height of the pandemic, our household electricity bill reached 200 plus nearly every month. So my wife and I wanted to install solar panels on our Maryland home. The provider told us our roof was too shady and recommended community solar as an alternative. We decided to give it a try. Our electricity is now generated by a solar farm rather than by the utility company. Since signing up last September, our energy costs have been significantly less thanks to the low cost of solar and credits we receive for excess solar energy we don't use. We can revert to the main utility company if we ever want to, but with these savings, don't think that's likely to happen. Turn down your water heater. The EPA estimates that you could shave between 4% and 22% off your annual energy bill by dialing down your water heater from 104 degrees to 120 degrees. That can mean saving more than $400 a year. But check the manual with the manufacturer to confirm the proper setting for yours and know that the electric tank water heater should be set at a high enough temperature to prevent bacteria growth. Waste less printer ink. Few things in life are less pleasing to purchase than printer ink. Ounce for ounce, it routinely exceeds gasoline and even Dom Perignon champagne. To get more mileage from each cartridge, use the more frugal draft mode on your printer for recipes and other items that don't require picture-perfect presentation. Consider a font change, too. CR testers found that ink goes 27% further with Times New Roman than with Arial. Bring a worn-up laptop back to life. Chromebooks use a cloud-based operating system that reduces the need for pricey processors and built-in storage. Free software called Cloud Ready makes it pretty easy to give an old laptop new life as a functional Chromebook. Consider buying a used appliance. It takes a little legwork and a willingness to live with a mismatched kitchen or laundry suite, but in return you can find a top-of-the-line appliance for a fraction of what it would cost new, says Jim Nani, Director of Appliance Testing at CR. You can also purchase used at online marketplaces and yard sales. But a used appliance store or repair shop might offer lower prices and a warranty, which is particularly important when buying used. and pick an appliance that will last. When you need to replace a major appliance or you're outfitting your kitchen or laundry room with a new suite, considering Reliable Land can help you avoid problem-prone machines and the cost of repairs. Our fourth annual brand reliability rankings show how Reliable Land is relative to others across multiple appliances. The results are based on data CR collected from our member surveys covering more than 669,500 kitchen and laundry appliances purchased new between 2011 and 2021. 15 of the 29 brands in this year's ranking can earn a favorable average predicted reliability score. And let's see, Speed Queen was the highest ranking washing machines and clothes dryer. LG was the highest ranking, was high ranking also in microwave ovens, electric wall ovens, and cooktops ranges. Dishwashers, not so much. Refrigerators also got a high ranking. Roper got a high ranking in washing machines and clothes dryers. Sub-Zero Woof, surprisingly enough, didn't get very much in some of the other areas. They got a good thing on electric wall ovens, and that was about it. Signature Kitchen Suite also got a good one on cooktops, but not so much on some of the others. Miele got a good one on dishwashers and cooktops. Thermador got a good one on refrigerators and dishwashers. GE was good on ranges and on electric wall ovens. Beko didn't get any good ratings at all. Bosch got good ratings on dishwashers, ranges, and cooktops. Kenmore got mediocre ratings across the board. Whirlpool got a good rating on OTR microwave ovens, over-the-range microwave ovens, and mediocre on the rest. Cafe got good ranking on electric wall ovens, but mediocre the rest. Frigidaire was mediocre all the way. And IKEA got a horrible rating on electric wall ovens and averaged the rest of the way. 22% of Americans try to minimize water use in lawn or garden, like watering or night or using plants that require less water. Switch to battery-powered lawn tools. Every year, we test more battery-powered lawn tools, and every year we find fewer reasons to recommend gas tools, says Misha Koladatai, CR test engineer for outdoor power equipment. Lawn tools with two-stroke engines can put out 200 to 300 times the emissions of a car on an hourly basis, according to Simon Mui at the National Resources Defense Council. Battery mowers, trimmers, and other tools emit nothing and are cheaper to run than gas models. Purchase an electric model that run on the same battery platform. Buy two tools with a battery and the rest without. You save about 30% on each lawn tool you buy without the battery. You can charge one battery while using the other, so you never need to stop your job to recharge. Here's a suite of tools built around the TopRater Ego LM2135. Sterling Ego Trimmer at $200 and a 92. Ego Blower got an 80, and Ego Chainsaw got an 82. It says pictured right, but I don't see any pictures. That's interesting. Make your lawn and garden plant more friendly. Plant drought taught of native perennials. In addition to needing little water, some are fire-resistant. Others grow deep roots to prevent erosion. Find region-specific recommendations at epagov.watersense. What plant? Install a smart sprinkler control. The Rain Machine Touch HD 12 at 240 schedules its cycles based on the weather forecast so that you're not paying to water when the lawn doesn't need it. Use a mulching mower. It distributes tiny grass clippings which decompose and fertilize your lawn. In autumn, it shreds and spreads fallen leaves. The mowers below earn excellent ratings on our mulching test. They're also energy efficient and quiet, and they don't pollute. Not sure if a battery mowing will cut it? Use our interactive tool at cr.org/batterymower to see whether you break even with gas based on how long you spend mowing and the current price of gas. The battery push mower from Ego, $600. The battery push mower at Ryobi at $330. And the battery self-propelled mower, Cobalt at Lowe's for $400. Both got good ratings. Use rechargeable batteries right. Yes, they cost twice as much for more as a single-use batteries, but you can recharge them hundreds of times. To get most savings, use rechargeable devices that require frequent battery changes, such as your computer, mouse, and remote controls for toys. Advisor Shanika Whitehurst, CR's Associate Director of Sustainability. Disposables are better for products with a low energy pull, such as smoke detectors, clocks, and your TV's remote control. Prep ingredients before you fire up the grill. Then set a timer to preheat for 10 minutes, which ensures good performance and guards against burning extra propane. Light only the grill burners you need. Think of your gas grill as a stove. You never turn on all the burners to broil pasta. Likewise, use only the grill burners you need to fit whatever you're grilling when you're in the market for a new grill. Consider how many burners you use typically. Unless you're always feeding a crowd, a smaller grill, such as the Next Grill 1012 at $165, is likely to feed your household plus a few guests just fine. Many of small gas grills in our ratings cost less than $200 and can hold up to 18 burger patties. Large grills with unused burners take longer to heat, wasting propane and generating more greenhouse gases every time you cook. Installing a charger for an EV? Think ahead. Switching away from fossil fuels is almost always good for the environment, and often your bank account, too. If you're planning a project that requires an electrician, such as upgrading garage outlet to accommodate charging an electric vehicle, think about any other electrical jobs you might have on the horizon. For the charger, consider buying one that plugs into a 240-volt outlet. They're easier to replace than hardwired bottles and also portable. The electrician who handles the garage could also pre-wire a connection for a heat pump. Or if you're swapping a gas stove for induction or plan to get EV soon, get wired for both at the same time. You'll usually save by bundling multiple tasks into one appointment, even if it's just $25 to $75 they typically charge to travel to your home. And a bigger job might make in-demand electrician more likely to take your gig in the first place. The biggest investment of all of this, of course, is the EV. But it costs less to maintain than a conventional car, and you'll save thousands of dollars on fuel costs. And how about some quotable quotes to get us to down towards closing time? There is no best musician, best artist, or best dancer, best actor. The arts are subjective. It's like a song or an album is made, and it almost has a radar to find the person when they need it most. John Batiste, musician. Just another day when it's far better to be kind than cruel. Dan Rather. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I learned that's a total crock. You work harder than you ever thought possible, but the tools will feel light in your hands. Tim Cook, CEO. Once I learned how to read, I was never bored or lonely again. Anya Taylor-Joy, actor. And I used to fantasize about having the life I have now. Now I don't dream about the future, because in the future, I'm just older. David Sedaris. And we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.